ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर सेकंड एंटाइटल्ड अजामिल डिलीवर्ड बाय द विष्णु दूतास टेक्स्ट नंबर 38। मम अहम् इति देहादौ हित्वा मिथ्यार्थ धीमतिम् धास्ये मनो भगवति शुद्धं तत् कीर्तनादिभिः। Translation: simply because I chanted the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, my heart is now becoming purified. Therefore, I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification. Now that I have become fixed in the absolute truth, henceforward I shall not identify myself with the body. I shall give up false conceptions of I and mine and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Purport: how a living entity becomes a victim of material condition is lucidly explained in this verse. The beginning is to misidentify the body as the one self. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins with the spiritual instructions that one is not the body, but is within the body. This consciousness can be possible only if one chants the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and always keeps oneself in the association of devotees. This is the secret of success. Therefore, we stress that one should chant the holy name of the Lord and keep oneself free from the contaminations of this material world, especially the contaminations of lusty desires for illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. With determination, one should vow to follow these principles and thus be saved from the miserable condition of material existence. The first necessity is to become freed from the bodily concept of life. Hare Krishna. So Ajamil here is speaking to himself in the past few verses, beginning with his own repentation that how he acted sinfully. And we heard few days back that how a devotee should be aware of his past activities and how it was requested to compare who we were and who we are now and like that. So Ajamil is giving a nice, or here it is described in a nice way, the thoughts that are coming in the mind of Ajamil. Initially, when he was saved from the Yamdutas by Vishnu Dutas, then first he wanted to talk with them, but then they went away. And then now he is telling, how fallen I am, I did this, I did that. But maybe because I did some spiritual life, I could chant the names of Narayana at time of death. And now he said, after having that repentance, he is going to some positive attitude. And yesterday we heard about it. A determination in spiritual life. Both are important. One is to be aware of our fallen condition before getting Krishna's mercy. And second is to be fixed up. Dhruva nishchaya. Esham tvantagatam papam jananam punakarmanam te dvanda moho nirmukta bhajante mam dhruva vrataha. Utsaha nishchaya dhairya. Dhairya is a sign of determination. With utsaha nishchaya and dhairya, patience. Determination and patience. So here Ajamil is now becoming determined to practice spiritual life. He is telling that I did so much sin, and now slowly he is changing over. Yesterday there was some determination point being raised in the verse and in the purport, and today he is now determining exactly in detail what he is going to do, because he has got this second chance in his life, which is generally not very easily available. But Ajamil was a special case that although he was supposed to be taken away by Yamdutas, and but because of Lord Shri Krishna's mercy, he could utter the names of Narayan, and now he got the second chance, and now he is determining that what I will not do, what mistakes I did, and with great determination he is telling I will not do them again. And Srila Prabhupada, we see this very common principle which we might have heard about thousands of times being in Krishna consciousness, is to give up this bodily consciousness. I am not this body. We often have heard this and often have told this to people all over the world. I am not this body. I am the spirit soul. Ajamil also beginning with the same idea. He is saying, Mam aham iti dehado. Mam means mine, mera, or aham means me, I. So I and mine, this is the sum and summary of material world. I and mine, what I will get and what my family, my country, my nation, my caste, my city will get. What I and mine will get out of this. What will be the material benefit for us through this? Anything. Anything in this material world, we just through this I and mine concept. How is it safe for me? Is it good for me? And as a society. And others, I don't worry. I and mine. So Ajamil is telling the same way. Mama aham iti dehadav. And this Prabhupada says extended selfishness. This extends to mine, deha means body, and things related to body like my child, my wife, my house, my estate or my factory or my business, but connected to me. It has to have some relationship with me. And janasya mohoyam aham mameti, this is the first illusion of the all the living entities, that they think I and mine is okay, but is I and mine, they think on the bodily level. Mam aham iti dehadav. There's no problem with I and mine, because we are something. It's not that we are trying to destroy I. You are nobody. You are zero. That's not the Vaishnava philosophy. We are something. So I is there and mine is there. But that I and mine is belonging to Krishna. Who am I? I am servant of Krishna. And who is mine? Whoever is belonging to Krishna, they are also mine. It's like in one family, if there are four sons, so all are his mine family. Who is I? He is a member of a family. And who are his? Who all the four brothers are his. So in a similar way, I and mine is there. We can't remove it because it has a real dimension. And that real dimension is I am the servant of Krishna. And whoever is related to Krishna is mine. In this material world, we relate with this bodily level. And this is the greatest mistake. Prabhupada also tells here that this is the first necessity of spiritual life, is to give up this. He is saying the same thing. Maham aham iti dehadav hitva. Hitva means giving up. I will give up this idea of mam aham iti dehadav. Such consciousness, such matim, I will give up. And then Prabhupada says that this is the first necessity to advance in spiritual life. And therefore Lord Shri Krishna also spoke about that in Bhagavad Gita, 20 verses at one place, at the first go. He starts beginning heavily calling Arjuna, oh you fool, you are lamenting for something which is not worthy to be lamented. And then you are lamenting for the body which are going to be born and dead. So he begins telling Arjuna very strongly that you are not this body. And it tells that for 20 verses straight. We find rarely in Bhagavad Gita one particular topic has been taken for such a length. There are topics which are taken many times, but at one place at such a stretch of 20 verses, not much has been discussed. Maybe the pure devotion has been discussed at many places, few verses. But here we see Krishna is giving stress to the importance for anyone who desires to advance in spiritual life to be fully convinced, aware, realize and act on the level of I am not this body. Sometimes we think, what is this Srila Prabhupada? Every lecture is telling I am not this body. Basically, if you see Srila Prabhupada's lecture, 99% of his lectures has this point. And mostly all the lectures have this point only. But at least all the lectures have somewhere over here and there this point that I am not this body. And we may think, oh, these lectures are very basic. Every time we put on some Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada is telling, I am not this body, you are not this body, I am not Indian, I am not American, I am not European, Russian, I am not Hindu, Muslim, Christian. Basically, I am not cat, dog, all these. I am not rich, poor, beautiful, ugly, man, woman. All the designations of body, Prabhupada is telling, I am not. And somebody may think, what is this? Prabhupada is repeating the same thing every lecture, again and again. But the point is, as Prabhupada says, repetition of important things is required. Like kalo nasteva, 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 agnagati ranyatha. Repeating, important thing is repeated. Therefore, Prabhupada is repeating. Why? Because if we don't understand this one simple instruction of Bhagavad Gita or any Vedic scriptures that I am not the body, you can't understand any further instruction. It's a reality. You open Bhagavad Gita anywhere and just think, if I am on the bodily level, can I apply this instruction of Gita to my life fully? It's impossible. You open any Bhagavad Gita, even to go to the level of Sarva Dharman Parityajya. If we have still identified with the body, we'll hold on. We'll not surrender completely the Supreme Lord. You just go anywhere. Krishna says, Satatam Kirtayanto Maam, Etantasya Dhudravata, Namasantasya Maam. So Krishna is telling, always chant my glories. But is it possible for one to chant Krishna's glories always if he is thinking he is his body? He just can't do it. We all have experience while we chant our japa in the morning. We just can't think of Krishna 24 hours because we are thinking we are this body and then the thoughts related to our body, disease, relatives, insults, scopes, futures, bright side, health, promotion or financial some chance to improve financially or prospective losses, all these things come related to the mind and the body. So any instruction of Bhagavad Gita which you take up in the future after second chapter of this 30 verses, one cannot follow if he still thinks he is this body. That instructions are important and we have to go on to that level of, we have to go to the level of Sarva Dharman Parityajya and all Satatam Kirtayanto Maam and that shloka of second chapter when is just like an ocean. He takes up all the reactions in a peaceful. These no instructions of Bhagavad Gita can be followed if we think I am this body. If we are not fully convinced that I am not this human body, we just can't follow any instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in his lectures, stresses is very important. This is the basic level, ABCD. But ABCD has to be with full conviction and full realization. Then we can move ahead. And here also, Ajamil is taking a determination. Mam aham iti dehadau hitva. This iti means like this. My consciousness, my mati, was mam aham. I and mine. Mam aham iti deha adau. Adi means extras. Deha and Adi, my body and everything else with the body. Hitva, I will give up now. He's fully realized. He said, my whole life was under illusion. Money, wealth, theory, robbing, killing, looting, cheating, keeping a prostitute. And just, he said, these all things, my children, 10 children. I was always thinking of everything related to the body. He said, my whole mati was in what? In the bodily things. So he is taking a vow or determination that I will give up this bodily identification. And actually, without giving up this bodily identification, no one can be actually joyful or happy in this material world. Rather than joyful, happy, I will say blissful in this material world. Because the bodies are made like that. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam one place that in the heavenly heaven, Swarga, the people are naturally joyful. They are made like that they are joyful. On the earth, the quality of the human beings is lamentation. They are always lamenting. What is this? I lost this. I will not get this. Either na shochati na kangshati. Hankering and lamentation. This is the nature of human beings on earth. You go to any strata, any sphere, any country, any district, any village, any caste, creed, sex, age, you will find this quality unifying. Hankering, lamentation. Shochati, kangshati. All over the world, people are doing these activities. Lamenting. What I have, what others have, what I have lost. They're just lamenting. This is because human body is made like that. It is designed like that. Just like if you sit in a racer car, it's a difficult challenge for you to drive at the speed of a bullock cart. Just the moment you start the car, it is zooming away. Just you put on and you even put the first gear, it will go at a very high speed. It's simply not possible. So human body on this earth is made up in a mood of lamentation. You may have lots of money, or you may be the most beautiful, and therefore we speak so many times in our discussions that one who comes second in the class is also lamenting. That I have not come the first. And one who has got first is also lamenting. That I must have got some more mark. I answered this paper very nicely, but I got only less mark. He's already first in the class, but he still is lamenting. Or sometimes he's lamenting in engineering college, it happens. That one who comes first in the class, he doesn't get the best job. The best job is going to the one who comes second or third or fourth. So he's lamenting, although I came first, but I did not get the best job. So this material world is full of lamentation. And animal bodies, they are made for fear. If you see animal bodies, their whole consciousness is fear. Who will kill me? Who will snatch my food? Either animal or human being. They are always looking here and there. From fear, if you see a dog, he's looking. Are you going to attack me? Are you going to kill me? Are you going to snatch away my food? We don't have fear. Like human beings have some fear. We know if I'm walking on the street, somebody may come up and take my money. That fear is there. But still, even if you go to the worst part of the world, that fear is not so prominent. Then the lamentation. Animals don't have the intention to lament. They're only fearful. What is going to happen right now? They don't worry, yesterday he took away my bone. They don't think like that. See, he has got a beautiful wife. I don't have. He doesn't lament. He's fearful of his life and his whatever little possessions he has. Animal consciousness is full of fear. Basically, mostly for his life. Always, deer is thinking, is the tiger will come and kill me. See, whenever deer is eating, although he has a lot of green grass, he's always looking here and there. Is tiger, some danger coming? Tiger is also thinking, maybe some another tiger will become powerful than me, or elephant will come, or a hunter will come. So, we see these bodies of animals on the earth are made for fear and they can't escape that. And similarly, the bodies of human beings on earth are made for lamentation, dukkha. Everyone is dukkhi. Rich is dukkhi, poor is dukkhi, beautiful person is dukkhi, ugly person is also dukkhi. You can't escape this unhappiness at the heart, lamentation at the heart, till you think you are this body on the earth. It's simply impossible. You can't. It's just impossible because you are sitting in a vehicle which is supposed to have lamenting attitude. The vehicle may be Indian, American, European, man, woman, old, young, intelligent, less intelligent, beautiful, whatever it is. that doesn't matter. It at all doesn't matter. You are sitting in a vehicle which is supposed to be of a quality full of lamentation. Until you are in this vehicle, you are going to lament whatever the material situations it may be. It's a simple, straight fact. Very difficult to accept, very difficult to digest and understand, because people in this world always think that material gains and prosperity will take away their lamentation. But this is the biggest illusion. Lamentation is with your body. It's not with the material things. Dukkha is with your body. It's not with the objects. You may have the objects or you might not have the objects. Dukkha is not going to go away. Your dukkha or your lamentation will go away only when you detach from the body. If you are detached from the body, the main source of lamentation, then only that will go away. Therefore, that is mukti. If one really wants to become happy or joyful or blissful in this world, he has to give up his body. Whatever the body may be, it's not me. It's simply not me. We just don't lament. Oh, just see, the road has so many potholes. It's the road. It's not me. I am not the road, simply. Why to lament? Or some BMC come and dug the road. It's just irrelevant to me. It doesn't matter to me at all. Or somebody over, they are in Iraq, there are some bomb blasts. It's something, nothing to do with me. Similarly, till we come to the realization that this body is completely foreign. It's just nothing to do with me. Anything may happen to the body, it's just nothing to do with me. I am completely separate entity from this physical material body made up of few kgs of bone, flesh, and I may be living in that right now because of my condition, forced nature, past reactions. But it's just nothing to do, it's just finish. No relation. And as we give the example, a parent may chastise his child because he has done something wrong. But he will not chastise some child in the next building. It's nothing to do with me. What I'm supposed to do? The child may get good marks, in the sense the next building child, or may not get good marks. I don't become lamenting or happy because he got no relationship. Similarly, till we give up this mam aham iti dehado hitwa, it's impossible for a man, a human on this earth to be happy. It's simply impossible. And therefore, it's just like we say, it has been rubber stamped. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This material body has been rubber stamped, or it has been made like that. Just like from this bulb, a yellow light is going to come. Now what do you do? You give yellow light is only going to come from this bulb. Similarly, from these humans on earth, all over earth, from Antarctica to North Pole, Greenland, from Africa to Japan, far east to far west, anywhere, the human bodies are lamentation. You can't avoid it. You may be in the cold or heat or rain or desert or most fertile land. Human body is nature of lament. And if you want to avoid that, the only thing is not trying to change materially. It's simply impossible. Only thing is to give up this bodily consciousness. Tektva, hitva. Only then, when we give up the vehicle which is full of lamentation, then only one can be. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati. He is free. Because he is Brahma bhut. His consciousness is not in the body, but in the spirit. It's a full ocean of bliss. We say, the maximum happiness we can get in this world is when there is a most beautiful young man with a most beautiful young woman with full of wealth and the best house and everything best. That may be the maximum happiness a man can get in this world. But still, that there will be lamentation present. But still, maybe something will be there, some draw, some shades or some abhas or happiness. It is said that happiness which one gets just by becoming free from this body, just free, no positive engagement, just getting free from this body, Brahma Bhuta stage, is like an ocean compared to the happiness a man can get by the best possible conditions in this world. Therefore, if one really wants to be blissful, he has to make this determination of Ajamil. He has to give this bodily identity. People are shouting, oh, I am suffering, I am unhappy, please help me. Sridhar Maharaj, when he was here once, he gave this example. If there is a tree, and somebody is holding to that tree very tightly, I am holding the tree myself, and then I am shouting, please free me, please help me, please free me, please take me away from here, please free me. You are yourself holding to the tree. It's not you are being tied or bound to the tree. You yourself are catching the tree and shouting, please free me from this tree. It's easy. Give up. Give the tree and then you are free. Just remove your hands and you are free. Actually, it's as easy to give up this. Just understand, you are not this structure of bones, muscles, blood, fat, lymph, skin, teeth, hairs, eyes, nose, everything. It's just simply not. You yourself can give up. No one, there's no need of anyone extra from outside to come and help you. Just like Srila Prabhupada in his childhood pastimes. It's not an example of Prabhupada's pastime. Not much good analogy, but Srila Prabhupada's pastime. That when he was a small boy, and when he had to relieve himself, go for urine, although he was grown up, maybe a few years old, he would go to his mother and jump, mother, help me, I have to go to the bathroom. And he would jump up and down with his hand. His mother would say, who is stopping you? Go. And then he would go. In a similar way, we are just hankering and lamenting and suffering. And we are shouting, please help me, I am so much suffering. And it's just, forget this body. Go away. Give up this bodily consciousness. All problems will be over. Mam aham iti dehadau hitva. Just give up. This type of intelligence, just give up. And then who is stopping you? Just give up. But this simple fact is very difficult to understand. And until you understand this simple fact, it's not possible to accept the instructions which are further in this Bhagavad Gita. It's a great wonder. It's a great wonder that the souls are bound to this body, although no one is binding them. We are bound in this material world, even though no one is binding us. That is called Durga, beautiful prison where there are no walls. Still, we don't want to go out. And there is one similar verse in Sanskrit, which also explains this quality. It goes like this: Asha nam manushya nam kaschit ascharya shunkhala. This is asha or desire. This on the body level, material desires. It's such a beautiful chain. Shrunkhala is like a chain. Chains, by the chains we are supposed to tie up people. Chains tied up. But this asha is such a beautiful chain. Not beautiful, but astonishing. Ascharya. One astonishing chain. Asha nam, manushya nam, kaschit ascharya shrunkhala. Why it is ascharya? Why this chain of asha is wonderful? Because yaya baddha dhavanti. When the one who is tied by the chain of asha, he runs. He runs to fulfill his desires. He is working here and there. So person who is tied by the chain, generally when we are tied by the chain, we can't move around. But this chain of asha is so wonderful that one who is tied by the chain of asha, material hopes, he runs everywhere to fulfill. Yaya baddha pradhavanti mukta tishthanti panguvat. But one who becomes free from this asha chain, he just sits peacefully. He is happy. He doesn't run away here and there. So this is a wonderful chain of asha or the bodily consciousness. If you are in the bodily consciousness, there is lamentation. And if we are free of this bodily consciousness, we are happy. And Here, Ajamil, so we'll continue a little more for 5 minutes. Ajamil, because if we stop at this point, I will be like telling only the importance of mukti, getting free from bodily consciousness. But we have to go up till the level of bhakti also. So Ajamil is also doing the same thing. I only discuss the first part of first line of this verse. Mam aham iti dehado hitva mithyartha dhimatim. But after that, this is the first step. Prabhupada says this is the first step of spiritual realization. To give up this adeha adau hitva matim. Then after that, what do you have to do? Dasse bhagavati. Dasse means I shall engage. Mana means my mind into what? Not mental, bodily activities. Bhagavati unto the Supreme Lord. On Supreme Lord. Dasse mano bhagavati. How? Shuddham tat kirtanadibhi. Oh, this is also important. I will engage my mind on the Supreme Lord. How? And I will purify my mind from this dehatma buddhi. How? By tat kirtanadibhi. Tat means name. His name. And by glorifying him in various ways. Adibhi means we can say now with our bhakti. Chanting and all the adi means there are two adis here. In this verse, we see there are two adi. One is deha adi and another is kirtan adi. He says, I will get free from deha and adi, anything connected to the deha. And second thing is saying, I will do that. I will get free from deha adi by kirtan adi. I will get free from deha adi by engaging in kirtan adi bihi. By chanting his name and engaging in kirtan, I will get free from the body and etc. By engaging in Krishna consciousness, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, pada sevanam. So, and this is much more blissful. One bliss is there in getting mukti, free from bodily consciousness. But just the happiness, no one can describe, is only to be experienced. The bliss of devotional life makes a man mad. He's just hasati, rauti, ruddhati, loka bhaiya. He's uncontrolled. In one way, a person is too intoxicated, he also forgets his body. And one who is in the love of Godhead, he also forgets his body. They are both on a different nature, but externally, one who is too intoxicated, he also forgets in his body. If you remember, Vallabh Chaitanyapur was there, myself, a few weeks back, we were going to this preaching program outside Bombay. You know, rainy season, there was a puddle of water, it was raining, and we saw one man intoxicated lying in the puddle. He was completely lying in the puddle, and we were thinking that if he lies there for a few more hours, his flesh will start rotting. And somehow or fortunately, he was lying with his head like horizontally, and the water level was just still here. He was able to breathe. We had first hand experience only 15-20 days back. So he's just like out of body. We can say he's out of bodily consciousness. But that's a different type of out of body consciousness. And those who are devotees, pure devotees, they are completely different level of out of body consciousness. The first one is full of lamentation, height of lamentation. And second one is not only the bliss of getting free from this body. The bliss of devotional service is unimaginable. Millions and trillions. There is no ratio. In mathematics, I will go into some engineering mathematics. If you divide 1 by 1, it is 1. If you divide 1 by 0.1, it can be 10. But if you divide 1 by 0, it is infinity. Is 1 by 0 is undefined number. You just can't do it. Similarly, if you want to compare the happiness between mukti and bhakti, it's 1 by 0 in mathematical terms. It's infinity. There is no millions times or 10 million times or billion times or quadrillion. It's 1 by 0. It's undefinable comparison, but we can say billions of times for our understanding. But if you are in the bodily consciousness, it's lamentation. Just out of bodily consciousness is also millions of times better than in the bodily consciousness. But if we engage in bhakti, by Shuddham Tat Kirtan Adi Bihi, by Dhasse Mano Bhagavati. The experience is not hallucination or imaginary. It's a substance. It's just unimaginary positive bliss or happiness of just being engaged in Krishna's service in a reality concept. But to do that, as it is said, Prabhupada says in his beginning, to do that, we have to be first Hitva Dehado. And what is the main criteria of Hitva Dehado? Prabhupada says here, and it is explained here, is to give up these four basic things. No one can claim to be free from bodily level of consciousness if he is still engaged in any one of these four. It's impossible. No one can say, oh, I am taking some intoxication. But see, I am not attached to my body. It's just happening. I am an onlooker of this intoxicating activity. Like Pralapan, Vishrujan, Grunnan, intoxication. I am just onlooker. Or I am doing into this gambling or illicit sex or meat eating. And see, I am not thinking, my body is eating meat. That's all. Impossible. Prabhupada says the beginning stages of this giving up of Dehatma Buddhi, not beginning, the important points is to give up these four sinful activities. Then only maybe you can go somewhere closer to giving up these bodily activities. And then when you are free, you will enjoy a million time bliss of just being free from this body. It's like getting free of big load. It's just getting free. But then furthermore, is when we develop full Krishna consciousness, it's undefinable 1/0 ratio of bliss that one can experience. And Ajamil is making full determination over here that I'll give up my bodily consciousness and I will engage into pure devotional service of Krishna by Tad Kirtan Adi Bhi. Hare Krishna. Any comments there? Any senior devotees? Anandan Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Krishna Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.